Don't shut it off. I'm warning you.
Welcome to Strange Glow Videos. Well, that's what I heard.
Aren't you going to introduce me to your feet?
Hosted by Alec, Justin, and Nick.
Well, that's what I heard.
Another episode of That's What I Heard.
Yes, so it's true. There's another Ghostbusters movie coming out.
There is. So Ghostbusters Day was last week. We're going to talk a little bit about all the shenanigans involved with that.
Yeah. What you got?
So, lack thereof.
Yeah. So up front, how would you guys rate Ghostbusters Day on a scale of 1 to 10 this year?
This is going to be hilarious.
How do you rate it, Nick?
2.
Okay. That's fair. Alec, what about you?
A solid 5.5.
Because 5.5.
It's all about expectations, baby. I expected at least a title and a poster. We didn't get a title confirmation. We at least got a poster. And it's interesting enough. I mean, it's kind of like we've obviously memed the shit out of it at this point. Everybody has, because it's a frozen over Ghostbusters logo. And there's some other details we'll get into, some shit later that makes things more interesting, shit that Dan Aykroyd himself has said in the last couple days and today even. But
yeah, so
yeah, fine.
I think they're just gonna give up and call it Firehouse, I think.
Justin, what's your rating?
5, man. It's like just halfway in the middle. There is enough that I didn't, you know, I can't rate it a 0, but it was just like,
how did I have the highest ranking of that expectation?
I don't know, man.
I was expecting you to be at like 8. Me to be at 5, Nick to be at like 0, because that's kind of just how we've been about this whole expecting this new Ghostbusters thing.
Well,
like Nick wants to be optimistic.
I mean, you got to give him a point for the teaser poster. You got to give Spirits Unleashed some points because they announced some good stuff, I think.
I would care more about that if I had even been able to play that game. I just didn't have, you know, console and shit.
Yeah. You need to come over here and play it so you can at least talk about it. I mean, I've got it over here, so.
They got most of the cast to record a little video. I mean, they didn't do nothing, but they didn't do much, I think.
Yeah, so that was like the first real release of the day on Ghostbusters Day. It was a little cast video, which, to be honest with you, people were more interested in the backgrounds because they showed the upstairs of the firehouse set, which was more interesting to people. So I saw more people tearing apart the background photos.
Yeah.
And for me, like, I'm trying not to get spoiled by like promotional content like that. So I'm like, I'm not going to go through the trouble of all that. I'm just going to enjoy it. And I've only watched that video once. Like, hey, happy Ghostbusters Day.
Most of it's just going to be shit like we saw in those Adam Savage videos where he's like, oh, look, there's like, we would have never known that they had what they had in the cabinets in that movie and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like they had boxes of Twinkies and other random shit in the house that we didn't see, which is fine. We didn't need to see that, you know?
But no, like the toaster that's in the kitchen, like, I don't even think we see really in the kitchen in the movie to even notice that.
Exactly.
It's just the fact that the set dressing was done that well that they went to those lengths, so it felt like Egon actually lived there. If you're there,
I wonder if they're going to those lengths with this, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it depends on the context they set up around the firehouse.
Didn't they hire a lot of the same people?
I don't know. I haven't seen Ben Edie posting anything, but I think, you know,
that might mean he's on, you know, not able to, and is just busy with other shit.
Yeah, he could be on an NDA, that's for sure.
That was one of the people I was going to bring up. Like, do you think he was hired again? Obviously, I think the community rather.
Yeah, I think he was a great outreach to the community. Right, you really showed off what was going on in there, and I hope if he's not part of it, they have someone else that's kind of going to do some of that work, because I think that really connects to the audience out there, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about the movie, having that kind of behind the scenes access really kind of paints the picture of the love that went into the movie, despite how it was executed in its editing, right? So
people are also dissecting the McKenna Grace video, which sees her sliding down the pole into the garage.
Well, that was a whole other topic, Nick. Okay. You just keep talking shit without listening to the rundown, son.
Jesus.
Well, this is the same topic as dissecting cast videos, I think it fits in the same criteria
here. You guys need to smoke some weed and chill out. Chill, as Arnold would say, the new villain of the next Ghostbusters movie. Confirmed.
Well, no,
it's the same topic. It's a cast video.
Well, so the TikTok video that McKenna Grace released, you know, showed the interior exterior set on the soundstage, which is pretty cool to see North.
Well, you've been there in person. It does feel like, oh shit, that feels like what it was when we were there.
Yeah, like the curves like and the stoplight are pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. The one thing I'm wondering about this, though, is if they continue to make movies, right, that's so iconic, I can't imagine this being like a one-and-done set. I feel like they probably constructed this in a way that they can store it or move it. I don't think it's going to be fan accessible, but I think the level of detail they put into it, like, why would you keep building that over and over?
The firehouse, potentially, I could see. Any other sets, probably not. But the firehouse set?
Oh, yeah, I'm just...
I could see that.
I'm strictly talking the firehouse set, because once you've done that correctly, once you want to be able to reuse that, right?
Well, I'm thinking we're going to have some sort of, you know, like, I think the final battle is going to be at the firehouse. Because I'm thinking about how they did the ending of Afterlife, and it was, they constructed the house on, you know, in Oklahoma and on set in LA or wherever, right? So they're doing just one version of that here. I mean, obviously they're going to get some exterior shots in New York for sure. But yeah, when it's green screen like that, that leaves me to believe there's going to be some shit going down, because they're not just going to, you know, film them walking inside or having a conversation real quick, pulling the Ecto-1 up. They can do that in real life, no problem. One day of shooting, a week, I don't know, you know, whatever they do. But
well, speculatively, you look at the trailer or the teaser poster, right? And you're thinking, yeah, you have complete control over the lighting, over the atmospheric appearance of all that, right? Which
I was also
shooting in the summertime.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to say that I was also about that poster, though, the Frozen Over logo. I was trying to see. I need to look at a high resolution version of it and zoom in. But is it the Afterlife one that's just frozen over, or is it just the regular logo refrozen over? Like, I couldn't quite tell.
It's
just the regular one, I think.
It's just the regular logo refrozen over, right? I think that's how they decided to start branding things, to kind of differentiate.
I don't mind, because they did like, that with that way, if you get too. Something yeah. from this movie, it has that logo on it. That's kind of cool, just because we've had so many things with the regular logo on it. Now, I'm sure some of the merch will just have the regular logo on it, but like movie-specific stuff, like maybe the action figures, maybe not the Plasma Series ones.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll do another Fright Features line for it, because that was so fun. I like that one.
I think there's a lot of potential for them to keep doing that with the posters. Now, you know, we kind of poked some fun at it just being icy, because I was like, oh, is that frozen slime? And then I zoomed in, I'm like, oh, that's just ice. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's still... It gives you speculation, but right now I think that's kind of fun, right? Just kind of has your wheels spinning, right? What does this mean?
Yeah, we're at a point where now we've seen the people on the set filming it, so it's real. We're at that point again, you know, like, okay, we know we're for sure getting this movie. It's not going to get postponed again like the last one. I mean, even if it does, it's going to be, you know, like maybe 6 months. It's not going to be like 2.5 years or whatever. And
yeah.
We potentially were at least getting those comics, even though they look like Archie. No hate to the artist, because it's a cool art style. I just don't know if it matches Ghostbusters is all. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that was a whole other topic, I'm sure, but are we going to talk about that now?
We're still kind of... I was just going to say, you know, going back to the McKenna Grace TikTok video, I know Nick was like totally like, why the hell is she doing this to someone else's song that sounds like the Chipmunk singing?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was her song.
That's literally, like, I think it's probably a TikTok remix version of the song is what they call those. Like, there's tons.
Yeah.
And they just make them.
Yeah, and it's awful either way.
You're just.
But I did appreciate the fact that they let. Yeah, I know. Nick's a little out of touch, more so than me. Like, I try to be up on it.
But... No.
Yeah.
You don't have to like this garbage to be in touch. Come on.
Who said it's garbage?
It's annoying. It's stupid.
Well, you're in touch with it now, you know what it is. So you still have that opinion, but at least you aren't confused about it. So you're in touch with that one now.
Well, I just assumed it was her song. Not, you know, that's the only real.
Yeah. She did release after that other song from.
I've got all the stuff she's released just to kind of check it out, because she's never done a full album and she hasn't done any live performances that I'm aware of. So to me, that's very intriguing. Like, as a musician, there's a lot of people
I like her song on the soundtrack.
Finn Wolfhard and her should do a song for the new movie, because he does.
That would too. He's be awesome. Done,
like, I think he's on his second or third band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which was always pretty interesting indie music. So,
yeah, I like how they have multifaceted talent in these movies, right? It opens the doors up for different things, right, and different perspectives that you're not just going to get someone that's only trained in one area.
They could do a song with Dan Aykroyd too. Blues Brothers going.
I was thinking more along the lines of the Dragnet rap, but that's really where I was going with that.
I haven't seen that movie forever.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd's Dragnet rap that he wrote with his brother is fucking glorious.
Peter Aykroyd?
Yep. Yeah, so Alec, you mentioned the Dark Horse comics, right? And I just thought immediately, I don't know how quickly these, you know, I don't know the timeline that these take place for. We saw one, basically it looked to me like a quick sketch of the characters, just to let you know that the Dark Horse comics are still coming. But I really wish they would have given us like a date. But I think we're not going to start seeing these until they know the exact movie release date, right? We're all saying December 20th still, but you just never really know with post-production, like what's that going to look like, right? And even Dan Aykroyd recently has said something, you know, that, hey, this, you know, this is going to need some post-production work. So, you know, it may not be December. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens.
Which to me, just looking at it from an overview level, I'm thinking like, let's just do the 40th anniversary, right?
Better yet.
But at the same time, they may want to get this ahead of the 40th anniversary. Yeah, well, they may want to get this ahead of the 40th anniversary so they still can do everything they've got planned for that. So, lots of stuff. Lots of options there. But the Dark Horse art, man, I wasn't thrilled with. It seemed like a... And I can't. It's hard to say without seeing Ghosts, and the IDW stuff was so well done and so well written. Like, seeing this go in the hands of other creators just kind of has me a little...
Dark Horse is
cautious,
very known, obviously, and they do some cool stuff, obviously, and have done. But when I was buying, I bought an Elvira comic this week, and I noticed that Dark Horse has the Star Wars license right now. So,
my main concern was the art style, just feeling like, and it's hard to say, it's the Archie, but it almost feels like. Like just the funny section of the newspaper, right? It doesn't feel like...
That's what I said. It looks like newspaper comic.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you're going to be able to articulate comedy in there, right? But we all know where Afterlife stood with the comedy piece. So are we going to go back to the true comedy roots here? Like, you know... Mm-hmm.
It also... That post also said it's a Firehouse prequel, right? So, and with the characters are showing, this is going to take place between Afterlife and Firehouse, I thought when they originally announced that they were going to do stuff set between Ghostbusters 2 and Afterlife, which I know they can still do that in the future, but
they could still do that anytime they want, but I think they're kind of focusing on here to bring us up to speed, maybe. I don't know, it's hard to say. Because I think I can speak for everyone, like, no one wants to see them going into business. This movie to start out where they're back in business and some stuff's going on.
That's
and
what like, I don't need.
I've seen that three times.
And a bunch of franchises. They got the franchising going too. Let's just go ahead and jump to that too. You know,
I mean,
Winston's a big rich man. You can, you know.
Well, and I think that's kind of where this is heading to some degree too, right? With some of the things we've heard the cast talk about, right? This is going to open things up.
I was about to say that might be some of the what Bill Murray and them are doing there is trying to do shit like that. Because Dan Aykroyd said again today in something I saw, literally used the phrase passing the torch again. So,
yeah, which he's been using since like the early 90s. So,
oh boy, let me tell you, Chris Farley
reassured people that Bill Murray is going to be in it too.
Yeah.
Today, I think.
Well, he confirmed that basically, which they haven't really done a lot of official casting as far as some of that goes. And then like Sigourney Weaver has said that she's not in it, but that could be misdirection, but that could be accurate. Who knows?
Well,
like, if it makes sense for the story, I'm for it, but I don't know.
Bill Murray was brought to the yard. So that's a thing that happened because of the milkshake.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the news, didn't
you? Yes, that's been all over the news, too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm about tired of that.
So when we're looking at like the big stuff, the last major thing that came from, you know, was the teaser poster, which we've kind of touched on a little bit, but the Spirits Unleashed for Switch, the Ecto Edition with the Samhain teaser, even though that's not how you really say it, right? That's just how they said it in Real Ghostbusters. So that's how many people say it now, just based on that. The one thing that was kind of a sleeper hit there was the musical score was released on digital soundtrack. So I went ahead and purchased the digital copy of that. So I have it in my catalog.
For Spirits Unleashed.
Yeah. And it's a pretty good score too, right? There's a nice amount of callbacks to the actual Elmer Bernstein score with it still feeling fresh and fun and being kind of modern, which I feel like kind of goes hand in hand with how the Afterlife score did, right? But this is
be right back. Give me 1 second. Keep going. No problem.
Afterlife literally used a lot of the original score, though, you know.
Yeah, and it did a great job of that, too. I love the score for that movie. But the Spirits Unleashed.
I still like it, but
the Spirits Unleashed was able to capture that vibe without just like using the exact musical cues, probably for licensing purposes, right? So I'm good with that, but I got that. I was excited about it. I love seeing that they're still doing things like that. I really put that out on vinyl. Love to see a vinyl release of that.
How many tracks did it have?
It's got quite a few. I'm using my phone to record right now, so I couldn't tell you at the moment, but it's worth it. And if you pay for streaming, you know, it's included in your Spotify, Apple subscription, Google Music, whatever. I went ahead and bought it just to, you know, throw some money to them just to say, hey, I appreciate you releasing the score for this. I try to buy the digital copy if it's something I really like to support the artists involved.
Dana, are these the eggs?
Yes.
I found this and I immediately thought of Ghostbusters for obvious reasons.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I didn't have that one yet, so I added it to the collection. Anyway, that's the only one I was going to show them for here.
Yeah, so the only thing you missed, Alec, was we just touched on the Spirits Unleashed soundtrack coming out. So
yeah, I heard the beginning of that convo. I just had to get my phone. It was in my room charging.
So there's a few other things. And we're going to probably touch on some spoilers, but we'll warn you before we get there because there's a little bit of information there I want to touch back on. But like today, Dan confirmed that Bill Murray's in there. The thing that has me worried about this was the comedy aspect. You know, Alec, you sent that post to us earlier saying you haven't really seen anything on comedy besides the tweet that Dan Aykroyd sent out basically saying that Patton Oswalt is worth the price of admission alone for this movie.
Yeah, they've hired some comedians for this movie, so I hope there's some comedy.
Yeah, which I think, you know, the last movie was hard to really make funny based on the content.
Yeah,
and I think hopefully we're back to true form here.
Paul Rudd is not a comedian, you know, he doesn't do stand-up comedy, but he's a very hilarious human in movies usually. Even are expecting him to do, you know, improv. He's known for that kind of movie, those kind of movies with Judd Apatow. But
yeah.
This wasn't one of those kind of movies.
I think they're hoping to do that,
to be honest, the improv thing. But maybe if they have Patton Oswalt, I don't know. He seems like an improver to me, you know?
Well, he does a lot of stand-up, and so I'm sure he's good at that. And if he had good energy with Paul, hopefully they really were riffing on this and having some really funny moments to balance the scary and everything else going on out.
I think Patton Oswalt is my favorite of the new additions to the cast.
Well, I mean, he's a solid addition, right? And then, you know, he hasn't done an insane amount of movie or TV roles that you're just like, oh, that's Patton Oswalt. Like, you know that he's genuinely funny. The roles he's had have been pretty good, but it's not like
I liked him immediately. MST3K, the Netflix one.
Yeah,
he's TV son of Frank, and he had a small bit role in, you know, Parks and Rec here and there. That was a funny bit when he talked about Bette's hand coming out of the Sarlacc pit, and we literally end up with that.
Yeah, and I think that's my favorite addition probably right now too, right? Until we see a trailer. So
unless you want to
excel. We also saw Annie Potts having dinner with him or something on Instagram.
We did.
Yeah, that was back in LA. So like I have a feeling that, and even based on what Dan Aykroyd said today, I think he said they're like 75% done with shooting, which obviously is just filming the principal photography, right? That doesn't include anything you need to go back and do later. They had enough time to write this script that they probably shouldn't have to go back and do too many reshoots, right? Assuming you're doing it correct and you get enough footage ahead of time. So hopefully they don't need to do any reshoots.
And it seems like Jason Reitman's been on set a lot, like an on-hands producer, kind of. No, I wouldn't say co-directing, but like borderline.
Well, and I almost wonder, like, too, with the writer's strike going on, like the involvement of him and Gil, since they both wrote this together, like improv is a great area right now, but you're also shooting internationally. So what does that look like? How does that play back to things?
Where do they draw the line of who they brought over crew wise?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of
who's hired locally.
And then, you know, they're not talking about it, but if you've got 25% of this film left to shoot in a potential acting strike, what does that look like, right? And so we're already talking about delays, so we'll see, right? I'm all for the actors doing what they can 100%. To get everyone and the support staff paid. So, like, if we need to wait 6 months or a year for them to do what's right, I'll wait 6 months to a year, no complaints. I want to see those people taken care of.
I mean, if anything, my complaints will be that the people aren't fucking just – caving to their demands and paying them. Although, it seems, I don't know, you know, it's one of those things. Everybody else, the actors are some of the most, if not the most well-paid people on a movie. So for some degree, I bet people are out there thinking like, fuck the actors, you know? But like, it's the small actors that you have to worry about, not like the big people. They're going to be taken care of regardless. They don't have to, they're going to strike with people probably regardless because they're in the guild, but
yeah,
they're not probably as concerned about it for themselves. I don't know. It's just, it's a weird subject matter with actors. Writers and everybody else get paid significantly less than the actors, but
well, and a lot of the residuals, and with digital streaming, a lot of those contracts hadn't been updated to appropriately compensate for 100%. What happens when something goes to streaming. So I think that's, you get all, those all issues that, sorted yeah. out. And then I saw Patton Oswalt was at the strike in LA recently. There's some photos posted of him I saw today. So I think he's back stateside, you know, seeing him with Annie Potts too.
I've seen so many looks striking.
And then we saw Jason Reitman post a couple of photos of him being in New York. Somebody saw him like that was up there for Ghostbusters Day like a couple days afterwards and took a picture with him. So
it's interesting that we keep seeing movie news coming out. Terrifier 3 confirmed for this and that. I'm pretty sure I saw that guy in Leon striking too.
Yeah.
No, when you're going to
must not be Terrifier must 3. Not be writing though.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, if you have a script ready, potentially you can still shoot, assuming you don't need to do any rewrites and any of that kind of stuff, right? Yeah. So. And like I said, there's that gray area. If you are a writer and a director or whatever else, then there's that gray area.
You know, like the whole, because man, if you have this thing ready and you're like, man, they're not going to make this if I don't make it now. I mean, if that's the kind of situation you're in, I don't know. People might fucking just basically scab themselves or whatever and fucking make their art as good as it can be still. And it's like that's a weird gray area of fuck upery where you're putting these people in fucked up positions, I feel like.
Yeah, I am you know, like I said, I'm all for them doing whatever they need to do, but you know, it's just something to be mindful of when we talk about release date and potential there. So obviously I got one last item that I want to talk about before I jump into kind of a spoiler territory, but after Nick says his business.
I was going to say, I'm okay with it being pushed back till next summer, because if we travel to New York for the premiere, the weather is not going to be an issue. If it's in LA, I guess it doesn't really matter. But it'll also be for the 40th anniversary, which I think might as well wait for that. I don't know. And we get to see people bitch about how it got delayed. So I love that.
Nick loves to see people suffer.
I do too, honestly.
Well, it's not about them suffering. It's just seeing the childish things, the tantrums, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like that's just like in the online community, that's that toxicity that you see from time to time or regularly, depending on how far in depth you want to go, right? Because I've seen people leave the Ghostbusters community over the last couple of years or talk about it, where they only talk to people that are kind of mindful and respectful. And I totally understand that, right? If you need to remove yourself from a situation because something's not making you feel happy or joy that it used to, do what's right for you, right? I think that's a good thing, right? Don't let someone else ruin your love for a movie. And if you need to step away, know that there's people out in this community like us that we're welcoming of pretty much everybody, assuming you're not like
a
Nazi asshole. Right. Yeah. Like, or a racist, right? You know, we're out there, we're going to support people of every creed and color and background and life experience, just because
sexuality.
That's what makes the world a better place, is different perspectives. And like, that's where you learn the most, is from someone outside of your wheelhouse.
You still get the Blu-ray release on the 40th anniversary, because, you know, they come out pretty quick. I think they should wait anyway. So.
Yeah. And that's the debate though. Like, do you go with another box set? Like for me, I got that Ultimate Edition of Afterlife.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice, but I'm like, I don't know if I want to keep buying box sets every time, unless you're going to give me stuff that I don't have. Cause that the last,
there was box a good amount of, there was the a good amount of new set, stuff.
Well, no, I was going to say the last box set had enough new stuff in it, the work prints and everything else, that it really was worth the investment.
I also didn't already have them on 4K, so.
Yeah, for me too.
I don't have them on 4K, and I do hope they put out another box set, because I didn't get the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, they can keep putting them out for people who didn't get the last one, so, yeah.
Yeah. So then Immersive Game Box has announced a Ghostbusters title called Ghostbusters The Cursed Collection. And I'm not super familiar with them yet, but I'm trying to get some background on them. So like, we posted them, you know, they reached out to us after I reposted some of their stuff and wanted us to kind of help promote the game and build some momentum up around for that. And I'm all about, you know, doing that when we can. So as soon as we
I think I heard about that announcement. I didn't know what the hell it was, though.
Yeah, it's just kind of a teaser. So this Immersive Game Box is, you know, they do other games and other properties and IPs and stuff. So as we get closer to the release of that, hopefully we'll get some press information. What kind of format is it?
I'm kind of confused.
It's kind of like a mixed thing. So I'm not 100% sure. Like, so if you go to their Instagram page from our link, it'll kind of they have some breakdown videos pinned at the top that kind of explain their format and stuff, which I think is pretty cool. I love that there's new Ghostbusters content coming out in multiple platforms, right? Yeah. I think that's fun. The other one I want to do is the Ghostbusters virtual reality here that's hitting the Hologates now. And they announced it a while ago, but it sounds like they're finally hitting. So expect us to go out and do that and then do kind of a follow-up recap review of that experience. Probably do a video while we're there too and everything. Wanted to shout that out. Now, there are some spoilers we're going to talk about. So if you're trying to avoid spoilers, here's your chance to exit this episode and don't come back until you go check
it out. Is it new spoilers we didn't discuss in the last one?
Yeah, I've got a few things I want to bring up.
I might not even know about these. I'm going to leave.
Not.
I'm going to leave. So.
All right. Well, just don't tell Jerry, because that'll piss him off.
Hey, I was going to say, make sure Jerry sees them.
Everything you're doing is bad.
I want you to know this. That's the one character I would love to see come back.
Me too. More than anything.
That guy. I just want a fucking sitcom with Janosch post Ghostbusters 2, where it's him in Ghostbusters universe. You may occasionally see or hear characters in the background, but it's just about him going about his life after Ghostbusters 2.
I mean, we kind of
hilarious.
We kind of already had that in the Bean movie.
Because he yes.
works at an art museum.
Yes. Yes, there is that a little bit.
And has a family.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's the Ghostbusters 2.5 that people don't realize. That's why this is Ghostbusters 6.
Exactly. So we have some friends that were up in New York City for Ghostbusters Day. And we're in spoiler territory right now, so be aware of that. But shout out to everyone that sent me a video for the Ghostbusters Day shout outs, because I had a lot of putting that together, had a lot of fun seeing the community. I try to get a good mix of people in there, and really happy that turned out. So we're going to do something much bigger than that for the 40th anniversary next year. I'm just going to announce this here right now that I'll start taking submissions probably in March or April of next year to put the video together by Ghostbusters Day. Just because this year I kind of did it last minute, still ended up with like 32 submissions, which kicked ass. Okay, but speaking of friends in New York City, I don't necessarily know if I want to name any names, but people that were at the firehouse said that the production crew that visited the firehouse did extreme, like, heavy measurements on the roof. And they think that the rooftop is going to have like a very significant role in the firehouse set, which if you look at the McKenna Grace video, the top half of that building's not there, right? It's all ready to be CGI'd in with the green screen, blue screen around it.
They might have a rooftop set separate. That's only, you know, so high.
They very well could, right? Just to do.
They're going to have the Ecto-2 up there. And you're going to see Phoebe flying around in it.
Wait. If we're rooftopping it, that's Ghostbusters 1 again.
If it's the firehouse, though. You know?
What if Patton Oswalt's flying around in the gyrocopter?
I mean, I would love to see that in a movie, but I don't think we're going to see that.
Yeah, and we need new vehicles. They've only ever had the Ecto-1 in these fucking movies. Come on.
And then there's a fire hydrant in Chinatown that there's a lot of filming going on around, and some behind the scenes video footage of a taxi cab kind of like moving around up and down on some video that hit the web.
Taxi driver zombie confirmed.
No, not necessarily.
Nick is.
Yeah. They never caught him.
I don't know. So it's just a few things like going on in New York City with that, right? And I think everyone's seen the changes to the Ecto, which is crazy, because if you were trying to avoid spoilers on there, like every Ghostbusters group and their mom has posted spoilers. We're not going to post anything that Sony isn't posting officially as far as on our Instagram page. We'll talk about whatever we want to talk about, but we're not going to share all those, like, fans, people in the street just filming the stuff.
Yeah.
I think you still want to respect that they're trying to make a movie here and we're trying to see it. And so the fact that they approved McKenna Grace to make that video, the Ghostbusters Day, like those things are fine because they're officially released. I'm good with those things. You know, Sony clearly approved McKenna to make that video and throw it on TikTok. So, but there's a lot of the background stuff that you can easily spoil a movie on or kind of take away some of the joy and excitement from if you're seeing it. But we're not going to do that to you, even though you may not be able to avoid it without unfollowing everything in the Ghostbusters community online.
No avoiding it. There's no avoiding it. Hopefully people have some discretion when it comes to plot spoilers, but
I would hope so, but you just never know.
These pictures of second unit or whatever, you're not going to avoid them.
No, I mean, New York City is so populated, so well known. I mean, there's just so much out there already.
It's not going to spoil it for me.
No, so, and there's some changes to the Ecto that we maybe briefly touched on last time. And I'm just like, how are you guys feeling on that? Like, after seeing more photos behind the scenes, like,
well, there's another thoughts? Change to the Ecto-1 is that dome.
There's three pretty noticeable ones on there right now, right? the blue tubes being changed to silver, which basically look like dryer duck toes, which, okay, whatever. If something breaks, you replace it. I don't, you know, that's a moot point. It's basically serving
the same function.
They
honestly shouldn't
be
driving the fucking this Cadillac anymore.
No. I mean, honestly.
To me, it doesn't make any sense.
It's fun and I want them to, but like in the universe and in real life, it's utter bullshit.
Doesn't make it. No. It's like, well, it's 5 miles to the gallon at $5 a gallon. So yeah. It doesn't make financial sense.
That seems like something to me, like if you're going to carry on with this franchise, you almost need to retire the Ecto from the mainstream because, yeah, that makes no financial sense to drive a car that old.
But I think Winston's just
that expensive to me.
There'll probably be, I bet there'll be a line in that in this movie, like, maybe even Peter's like, why are you still using this car to Winston? And he's like, oh, you know, it's just, it reminds me of when we were all doing this shit together. I don't know.
Why are you doing black voice? Why
that wasn't a black voice.
That's not even what he sounds like.
He just deepened his voice to sound more like Winston.
Yeah.
Well, oh. I mean, if you still want to have the, if you still want to have the Cadillac, that's fine, I guess, but introduce a second car also. They have enough people where they need two cars anyway. You know, let's see something new.
Like a Prius.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, like, if you look at big companies around here, and if Winston's as rich as they made them out to be in Afterlife, depending on how that plays out, it just makes sense to keep that kind of as your advertising vehicle, but it doesn't make sense to use that as your daily driver, right? It's iconic, and I get the want the need to have it going still, but I don't know.
What if they?
I mean, I love the Ecto one, but
what if they let like a right winger make a Ghostbusters movie? Do you think that it would? They'd end up having shit like badges and driving Crown Vicks around and exactly like.
Well, I mean, Spirit Halloween already fucked that up for us by putting out that stupid Ghostbusters badge, and I'm sorry if you like that, but that is the most fucking cringeworthy thing Spirit has ever released, and I see people wear. Like, these are not cops. They're not FBI. They're not law enforcement. If anything, they have a fucking lanyard ID badge. That says,
an ID badge, yeah.
They're exterminators or trash men.
Exactly. And I don't see any fucking trash men driving around with a goddamn fucking gold badge. So buzz off with that shit. so cringe. So cringe. That pisses me off every time I see one. I'm sorry. It just does. Like, part of my fandom for Ghostbusters dies a little bit every time I think someone thinks that that was a good idea. But
these people want to be police officers, but they can't make it. So,
yeah.
Or they wanted to be in the they wanted to be in the army, but.
I mean, I'm not going to speculate about all that, man. Some people just like get their kicks about shit from that, but like anyone that appreciates art and design and things like that, you're just like, that makes no sense. If you wanted to make a Dan Aykroyd Dragnet police badge and sell that at Spirit Halloween and do a whole Dragnet line, fuck yeah, I'm all for it. I might even get one if it was a Dragnet one because fucking love that movie and it's right up the alley. It's appropriate for that movie, but not for this.
Yeah, maybe if you're doing a Woody from Toy Story costume, you can get a sheriff's badge. But if you're doing a Ghostbuster?
Mm-hmm. No.
No sheriff.
No. So those are the kind of big items I had there on behind the scenes stuff. I wonder how many people we pissed off with our jokes about the Frozen characters.
I don't know. I would.
All right, everyone. That pissed. Chill.
You think that pissed think a lot people, of people off?
I don't know. Some people take stuff too serious, you know? So you're going to piss off somebody no matter what you do. But I got a kick out of it.
Well, I think you're making fun of it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And mine was just joking because it just makes your imagination run wild. And you're like, just imagine. You immediately think of all the mashups and weird things that come to your head. So it's just like word association, right? So
the only thing I can think of.
Keep going.
The only thing I can think of is the story is going to involve hell freezing over or some kind of paranormal event blocks the sun or something. I don't fucking know. And New York freezes over. I don't know. It's an odd thing for a Ghostbusters movie. I mean, I'm sure it'll make sense once we see it, but
Well, yeah, to me, like, I immediately went where your mind went. I went like, okay, so Dan Aykroyd's original Ghostbusters 3 concept was Manhattan, right? We all kind of know that if we've been in the Phantom forever. And so hell freezing over, basically, and people not being able to pass over into hell would kind of make an interesting premise for me, loosely, but I don't know who your villain would be at that point, though, right?
Satan?
In all honesty. I mean, that clearly that's the obvious one, but you know how many fucking Christians in this country would fucking lose their mind over, like,
all right, Jesus. That?
Remember in, what was it called? Hellbent? It was going to be a Donald Trump-like figure whose name was Lucifer or something that meant Lucifer. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Imagine if they still did that. They could get Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin can be the villain.
He might be busy shooting Beetlejuice 2 right now, so I don't know.
Do you think they're in it?
He might be busy shooting Michael Keaton right now.
Yeah. Jesus.
Actually,
good thing this isn't spoiler territory. No, so any other thoughts on Ghostbusters for this one before we wrap it up?
No.
The mini puffs might be back.
No, that's bullshit. Anyone that's seen that, and that's a good shout out.
I watched that video. I bet it could happen.
I hope not. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did like a little Slimer cameo, like, you know, in Ghostbusters 2 when Slimer occasionally was showing up earlier in the movie. Like, if you just see them somewhere, that wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. I hope not.
Didn't they all disappear when they caught Gozer, though?
Yeah, but also Gozer, they broke the rules last time with Gozer and crossing the streams and the thing.
Did they all disappear? No,
I don't know.
Because you have the. I mean, you have the
podcast
with Slimer flying by after they caught Gozer or defeated Gozer the first time.
No, but in the afterlife, they show all the mini puffs vaporizing like Stay Puft did in the first one.
Yeah, so let's talk about that video. Do you guys watch that stupid video at the licensing expo in Vegas?
Nope.
I didn't watch it. You tell us about it, though.
All right, so I subjected myself to this abomination of a marketing video, which, you know, this is all supposed to be gimmicky and interactive to get people to license your brand. I get it. This is for, like, executives and things that really are fucking out of touch but make financial decisions for other companies, right? And so there's this video display wall where they have a person using a Hasbro Spangler's wand and using that to blast the light at the screen that is having a hard time reading the light from the wand, which is supposed to break this brick wall down, which as you blast it to begin with, you start seeing the new teaser logo on there. But then when you blast at the bottom, there's mini puffs that are like gigantic, you know, like a third of the screen in size. And I think to me, like, those are one of the most iconic things in marketing from the last movie. And I think they're still probably trying to get people to make more shit from Afterlife potentially. Right. Like, you can still brand on that since this is a sequel and kids love that stuff. Now, where I will tell you that I think we'll see more of the mini puffs is in the animated stuff. I can imagine them like beating that with a dead horse.
Yeah. I believe the animated stuff is happening when we hear more about it ever.
Yeah.
You're going to beat it with a horse?
You need both hands to beat off a horse, Justin. Just ask Johnny Ruckus.
You need like four hands to beat off a horse. Well, now him and his wife, that's four hands.
I'm not trying to bring the heat on this. I was just trying to make a joke. Goddamn.
Yeah, Nick goes in full fucking assault mode there.
I thought we said that on a podcast before.
No,
everything was speculation. Allegedly.
Oh, wait.
Yes, alleged.
Oh, wait. You never did post that video.
No, yes, I did.
Oh, you did end up posting that?
That full video was posted. Yep.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think there was something we didn't post. I don't know. Yeah, so go watch that.
Yeah. Yeah, you get all the jokes there.
Oh, God.
That was from the Frog Bros people. We don't even know who they are.
Exactly.
Now, there was another podcast, an evil podcast, and I killed them.
Now, we're
Strange Globe.
Well, we're planning on doing, well, that's what I heard. Basically, I don't know. every couple of weeks if we need to, depending on what the kind of news is doing. Now, that said, we do have our friend Kip coming back to talk about the Ghostbusters Day experience, the decals he put on the Ectos while he was out in New York, a couple of things like that. So expect another one of those in the next week or two, even if there's not a lot of other news, because we do want to recap that trip, because there's some pretty cool shit going on there. So
allegedly, they beat off a horse together.
No bucket. No bucket required.
No bucket required.
I gotta make sure I say allegedly.
Yeah, exactly. Get that in there correctly.
He allegedly sexually harassed people at a convention and was asked to leave too. Allegedly.
JRH. What is it? Yeah, just the right height. NBR. JRH NBR. Just the right height. No bucket required.
Exactly. All right. Hey, so if you haven't done anything exciting lately on the internet, go check out strangeblowvideo.com. We finally have a web store up. It'll link you to all of our channels online, our Patreon, our TikTok, our YouTube channel, all those fun things out there in the internet land. And go pick up yourself a Glow-in-the-Dark Alf Ghost, because what toy collection's complete with that one?
He makes a perfect companion ghost to real Ghostbusters figures.
Yes, he does.
All right, well, that's
right. Your neck of Alf figures. Okay.
Good night, everybody. Or good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Your mother! 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 Your mother!